Let's read in Exodus chapter 12. Book of Exodus chapter 12. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. You'll notice when we're reading here that it seems to be only one lamb, and yet there was many lambs. Your lamb shall be of without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with appurtenance thereof, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes in your feet, your staff in your hand. Ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now let's look down verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel in the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. One more place over in 1 John chapter 1. Epistle of John chapter 1. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What we brought before us here in Exodus chapter 12 is an Old Testament story. It's what's happened many, many years ago, and it was something that would happen many, many years ago. And it was something that was necessary for the children of Israel. But it's only a picture for you and for me. It's a type of what God has for mankind in the world today. The first thing I want you to notice is that there was condemnation spoken of and brought about for the land of Egypt. The whole land was under the condemnation of God. Except, there was an exception. Not only that, the ones that were under the condemnation was the firstborn. You were hearing already tonight that the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. The reason, of course, that a person needs to be born again is simply, we have been born wrong with it at the beginning. That is, when we were born into this world, we were born into the Adamic family. We were born into the, we were sons and daughters of Adam. And Adam had sinned in the Garden of Eden, as you all know, I'm sure. And because of his sin, he has brought havoc and sin upon this whole scene. And every individual is born in sin. Therefore, in order to be in heaven's glory, in God's heaven, there must be a new birth that puts us into a new family. And that new family is God's family. And unless a person is born into that family, they can never, never know what it is to be in God's, have God's salvation. So first of all, I want you to notice it's the firstborn that's under this condemnation. You must be born again. Now, how is this firstborn person in the Old Testament, which is just a type or a picture, how is this firstborn person going to escape the judgment that God is going to send upon Egypt? Well, let's go back and look what it says here. God came to Moses and he said, now look, he says, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt on a certain night. And he says, I want you to take a lamb, shed its blood, put the blood on the door of your houses, up there in the upper lintel where the exit is tonight, and the two side door. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now then, you tell me, what does God look for? And I'm letting that soak a minute. Because there's an awful lot of Christians' children, and they're looking and thinking, God is looking at my faith. Thank God he's not. Some are thinking, if I can get enough faith mustered up, then God will save me. He's not even looking at you. Thank God he's not. For if he was looking at me tonight, he would send me to hell. It's all I deserve. What's he looking for in Egypt? He's looking for blood on a door. That's all. And so he says, when I pass through the land of Egypt, when I see the blood of the door, I'll pass over that place. I'll hover over the door, and the destroyer can't get you. My, I thank God for salvation tonight, a salvation like this, for the simple reason that when God saves a person, he keeps them. Peter tells us, we're kept by the power of God. My brother-in-law said to me, I can understand you being saved. You're kind of a goody-goody. He didn't know my heart. And he says, I can understand my wife being saved, and I can understand your wife being saved. But he says, I can't. I could never, never picture me being saved. I couldn't keep it. I said, no, Ralph, neither could I. I would lose it long ago. But God's keeping it. It's too precious to him. Every person that's bought by the precious blood of Christ, it has cost them too much. And he doesn't allow me to keep. He keeps me. And if what you professed to have 10, 15, 20 years ago, if it hasn't kept you, it wasn't God's salvation. Better throw to the wind and get the real thing. No, no, God says, take a lamb. And as we're reading, didn't you notice it was it, as if there was only one? Why is that? Because God is looking down through the centuries, and he's thinking of one lamb, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist, when he was baptizing the people of his day, he pointed the people away from himself, and he says, behold, there he is! The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so what God says to these people, Isn't it strange now? Isn't it strange how people will twist the word of God and take some other idea? You tell me now, if any of these people that got up, thought about it and thought about their firstborn, and they say, well, let's see, now that's a kind of a gruesome thing, putting a little animal to death and taking a blood and catching it in the basin and putting it on the door. That's a kind of a gruesome thing. Why don't we just bring a little gift to God? Why don't you just turn over a little leaf here and you just be a good boy from now on? See, that wouldn't work. Because God isn't even looking at the firstborn yet. What's he looking for? He's looking for blood. Because the blood of this innocent victim in Egypt's day is a picture. That's all. It's a type. That's all. Of the real lamb and the real blood that will take people away from their sin and judgment. And so these people get together on the 10th day of the month. I see that man as he takes his young man out, his boy. He's maybe 10, he's maybe 12, he's maybe 14, he could be 18, I don't know what the age may be. But he takes that boy with him, and they go out and they pick out a lamb. It has to be without blemish. Why? Again, it's only a picture. A picture of the real lamb that is without blemish. And they're to keep it for 4 days. To see if it's got anything wrong with it. No. But the 4 days will prove that it's perfect. See, there's people today, and Dr. DeHaan said one time that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world and took upon himself a body, he could have sinned. He thought he was exalting Christ and saying it. He says he could have sinned, but didn't. I want to say emphatically tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ could not sin. It's impossible. He's God himself. And he couldn't sin. Furthermore, if he could sin because he was in a body, he's still in the body. Somewhere in eternity we would never know for sure. But he can sin. It's an impossibility for him. And because of that, he's God's lamb without blemish. So they had to get one without blemish. They bring it in and they keep it for 4 days. And the 14th day, some say 5 days because of the evenings and the mornings and so on. I'm not sure of that, but I do know this. On a certain day, they take that lamb and they shed its blood. And they catch it in a basin. The blood in a basin. But that's not enough. See, here's the basin. From Genesis to Revelation, the red line runs right through it. And it's always speaking about the Lord Jesus and his precious blood. Types and shadows and pictures, it's all about the blood. That's the basin. But I want to tell you something. The blood in the basin is not good enough. The blood is shed, yes. It's caught in the basin, yes. But now they have to get a little bit of hyssop. It's like faith. You can get it anywhere. You can just pick it off a rock any place. And dip the hyssop in the basin in the blood and hit the door with it on the top of the two sides. And that happened at 6 o'clock at night. Now you tell me when that young man was dead. Well, says somebody, I guess it would have to be when he believed it. Listen, as soon as God saw that blood on the door, he would conclude, those people believe what I said. Because he's looking for blood. That's what God's interested in. And he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And he passes over that door. Just as soon as the blood's applied, he passes over that. Surely nothing could get by there. Shall light, shall death, shall principality, shall powers, shall any other creature separate me from the love of God? No, because he is over the door. That's what he's looking for. But that's only a picture. And that blood on that door would be absolutely no good for you and me. But what is it a picture of? That's the point. Well then, we come to the scripture we read in 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Thank God. Is God looking for blood today? Is he looking down at the sinner and saying, you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to pay this, or you have to go to church so much, or you have to give so many alms to the... No, he's looking at the blood of the Lord Jesus and the individual that will shed, that will shelter himself under that precious blood. Can't go wrong. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now I'm going to ask you just as I pass by here, what are you depending on to take you to heaven? Your faith? The Lord Jesus said, if you have as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could save that mountain. I don't know if it's as big as a lion's gate, but you could be removed into the sea. Is there a Christian here tonight that has that much faith? I know it's not talking about that, but I'm asking you. We can thank God after the fact, can't we? But who can get down their knees? Some can, thank God they can. They can get down their knees and tell God about the mountain that's in their life and have it removed. And rise and know that it's removed before they rise from their... How many can do that here? Now, if you had as much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could do it. And the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Mueller just comes to me now. He's coming across the Atlantic. He had an appointment to preach somewhere, I think it was in Chicago. He's coming across the Atlantic in the early day, and it's fog. And they had to slow the big ship. The captain knew that Mueller had to be at a certain place at a certain time. So he went down to Mueller's cabin and he said, Mr. Mueller, we have to slow the boat. I don't know whether you're going to make it or not. Mr. Mueller says, let's pray about it. They get down and they pray. And Mueller asked God to remove the fog. So then they get up and looked out to see them. No. In fact, the other man who was a Christian, he started to pray. And he tapped him on his shoulder. He said, you don't need to pray. He said, get up and get the engine's going because he says the fog is lifted. See, there's a mountain, wasn't it? And he had as much faith as a grain of mustard seed. And he was able to remove the mountain without even looking out to see. I say again, how many in the meeting tonight can do something like that? No, the Lord Jesus, or God himself, he's looking for one thing and one thing only tonight. The precious blood of Christ. It's precious to him. Man, I want to tell you it's precious to me tonight. Because it's the only thing that's standing between me and the living fire forever. But I want to tell you something. I believe. I have enough faith just to take in this, and that's enough. God is pleased with it. So am I. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. A man came to my father one time in Nova Scotia many years ago, and he says, Mr. McElwain, he says, I've been guilty of every sin in the book. Except murder. And I'm not altogether clear there. Is there salvation for me? My father quoted in the verse. All sin. All sin. This reminds me now, was it Finney? Yet, Mr. Finney, having meetings in New York City. One night after the meeting, big crowds coming. One night after the meeting, a man came to the door, anxiety written all over his countenance. And he said, "Be you the preacher?" Mr. Finney says, "I am." Well, he says, "I want you to come with me." And so Mr. Finney went into the cloakroom to get his coat on, and some of the other men said to him, "Mr. Finney, you can't go with him. He's a wild character. God only knows what he's got up his sleeve. You better not go with him." Finney says, "I feel impressed to go." And out into the night he went, up one street, down another, and finally down an alleyway. As they're going down the alleyway, they came to a door on the side of a big cement building. He opened it with a key and stepped inside, and Finney behind him put the light on, and then again, with anxiety written all over his countenance, he pulled from his pocket a revolver. Mr. Finney thought, "This is it." But the man looked at him. He said, "Mr. Finney, that revolver has taken the life of more than one person." And he says, "I have to admit," he says, "I pulled the trigger. There's a salvation for me." Finney thought for a moment, and he says, "There's a verse that says, 'The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin.'" Well, he says, "Just a minute," he took him to a window. He says, "You look out into that room." And out into that room was where the gambling was going on. And many a woman has come and begged me to take her husband out of that because he can't win anything. He's losing his money and little barefooted children that he's not looking after. And she says, he says, "I've driven them away from the door. I've told them to mind their own business." He still thinks there's salvation for him. And again quoted 1 John 1:7. He says, "I want to show you another one." And he looked up here, there's the beer saloon. And he says, "Many a man has come with all his week's wages, spent his living." And he says, "I've thrust away from that door as well their wives and the little boys and girls. And they're ragged and they're not clothed properly. And they can't have enough to eat." And he says, "I've shoved them away again. Do you still think there's salvation for me?" And again, Finney said, "You've been a wicked man. But I have to tell you, the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin." He says, "I want to tell you one thing more." He says, "I knew I could never find a young woman to be my wife that be of any account at all living in an environment like this." He says, "I went away down to the South Country and I find a blue-eyed blonde, a beautiful girl." He says, "I won her affections. I told her I was a big businessman in New York City. I gave her a great picture of what I was doing." And he says, "I brought her up here." And he says, "We had a little girl born. Just the picture of her mother. A blue-eyed blonde." And he says, "Many a time when I come home, the worst of drink." And he says, "My wife and I would get into an argument. The little girl would get between us and try to part us." And he says, "Many a time I've cuffed her in the ear and seen her sprawling across the kitchen floor. Do you still think there's salvation for me?" And he says, "You've been a wicked wretch. You don't deserve anything from the living God but the depths of hell forever. But I still have to tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin." It was away in the early hours of the morning when it dawned upon him. This is God's salvation. The blood of Christ. That's all. Not the blood of Christ plus. The blood of Christ. He drank it in. And in the early hours of the morning, he started for home. Knocked the door as usual. Heard the patter of the little feet coming down the stairway because mother and daughter's off time waiting. She opened the door and ran. And he said to her, "Dear, just a minute." He'd never called her that before. She turned to look. With tears coursing down his cheeks, he said, "My daughter, God has brought you home a new daddy tonight." The wife upstairs hearing, she looked down the steps and they're in each other's arms. She says, "What's going on?" And through his tears, he looks up, he says, "Wife, God has brought you home a new husband tonight. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My friend, let me ask you tonight, forget about everything that you can do. Because the work is done. It's finished. God gave his lovely lamb from heaven, born in a manger, cradled out under the very starry pier of heaven, wended his way onward to the cross, the nails driven through his blessed hands and feet. I don't understand what that must have been like. In fact, doctors working on that hand one time. And he looked up. He saw the look on my face. He said, oh, he says, am I hurting you? No, I said, I never felt a thing. I wasn't even thinking about that. Well, he says, what's wrong? He said, doctor, tell me, how many bones in that hand? Well, he says, I'd have to stop and think. He says, but from the shoulder down, he says, I think it's 28. But he says, the biggest cluster is right there. He says, why do you ask? I said, doctor, can you tell me how those soldiers could put the nails, those big rugged nails, through the hand of the Lord Jesus and never break a bone? He says, a miracle. Yes, you know why? When that man was holding that nail, the hand of God was on his, and placing it proper in the right spot. The same with his feet. He was hung up in the noonday sun to a perishing world with arms outstretched as if to say, come unto me. And God tonight can look upon the sinner with delight when that sinner rests alone in the finished work. The blood that was shed, Calvary's cross. Could you depend on it tonight? Doug Howard said one time, could you go out into an eternity hanging your soul on a promise from God? Listen if you can, here's this. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Shall we pray? Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow in thy holy presence at the end of the meeting. O God, we realize that some of these days, time will be like this meeting. It'll come to a finish. And then it's the vast eternity. For some in our meeting, it'll be heaven, home, and glory with those who have gone on before us and with Christ forever. The summoner meeting, it's going to be hellfire. Oh God, give us hearts of compassion. Like our Lord Jesus when he wept over the city of Jerusalem. Grant, Lord, that some of these people in our meeting tonight may be stopped in their mad and wild career and made to realize that there's another took their place. That we might have the joy of being able to rejoice with them and the knowledge of sins forgiven. For we ask it all in the worthy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In number 156. 156. Why do you wait, O sinner? Oh, why do you tarry so long? And Jesus is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. So glad to see so many out tonight, and we give you a hearty invitation back and bring others with you. We're living in the last days, all the last days. Soon the gospel will be finished forever. And if it's hard to get a back parking place, there's a place over one block away. What's the name of it, Dave? The school board parking lot, about a block away. And you can go in there. Let's stand and sing this last hymn, 156.